We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
BECU presents the KISW Financial Advisor. Here to talk money, please welcome Todd. I invented numbers, so I know how this stuff works. Peach!
That's right, man. Todd Peach from BECU. And he has been with them for the last 16 years, serves as their senior manager of business development. And when it comes to, well, financial stuff, Todd's pretty much done it all. And don't forget, BECU is a great credit union. And all you have to do is live, work, or attend school in Washington State. And you can be part of BECU that does everything a bank does, except maybe put you in a little bit of tough problems, because BECU is not about making profit. They put you first. BECU.org is where you go. Todd, welcome, buddy.
Good morning, BJ. Thank you.
So, Todd, you know, it's funny, when the coronavirus hit and everything went crazy, the stock market went a little crazy, people were, you know, were in recession with this and that, and yet, you know, you look at the stock market, I haven't checked it out today, it seems to have recovered relatively well, yet they're saying we're in a recession. My brain has a hard time with not knowing if we're doing well or we're not doing well. What are you telling people?
Well, I mean, I think we've always told people that, you know, take the long road, the long view. So don't necessarily look at all your investments every day. This is a long-term proposition. The stock market's going to go up. It's going to go down. But we know over the long term that it continues to go up. So is it higher than it should be? We don't know. We won't know that until, you know, another year from now. So just keep on your plan. Make your savings automatic, out of sight, out of mind. Have a well-diversified portfolio, and everything will take care of itself.
And, of course, financial planners, if you don't know what you're doing, like me, I always get a financial planner, and that's one of the cool things is BECU can provide that if you're a member.
Yep. Hey, I did, as you talk about the economy, BJ, I just want to mention one thing, which is not something I usually do, but nonprofits are struggling right now and really need our help. And several years ago, BECU instituted the People Helping People Awards, and this is inspired by our members wanting to give to nonprofits. So from now through July 5th, members can go to our website at becu.org/awards. They can nominate a nonprofit that they volunteer or are passionate about. They're going to get a grant up to $50,000, and we're going to award over. Yeah, we're gonna and we're gonna award over $515,000. So I encourage you now through July 15th, go to becu.org/awards. If you have a nonprofit that you're passionate about, please let us know. Nominate them so we can take a look at that and see if we can't give them some money.
That's nice, man. Appreciate
nominating
that.
The Steve Meigs Money Recovery Fund.
Yeah, you need that.
Yeah. And I've been involved with it for many years now.
The Steve Meigs Money Recovery Fund.
Yeah, of course.
there are so many small nonprofits out there doing amazing work that most of us don't even know or see. So please let us know if you know of some.
Yeah, you're right. And, of course, it's a tough time. Of course, a lot of people aren't able to give as much as they used to. So that makes a lot of sense. And that's a cool thing that you guys are doing, Todd.
Just
basically go to the BECU website.
Yeah, just go to BECU.org, or you can do BECU.org/awards, and you'll see the nomination and all the details right there.
Vicky, can we throw that up on the on one of our pages? Thanks, man.
All the pages.
Come on. Throw it up where the kids will see it. If you got a question for Todd, 206-421-ROCK, you can also text us at 77999.
It's a simple question, but one that comes up quite a bit right now, and it's from Lacey from Bremerton saying, is it a good time to buy a house?
Ooh, wow, that is a really good question.
We've been getting this a lot, haven't we? I mean, I think interest rates are almost like at record lows right now, so everybody's enticed to do that. We're all in our homes and working in our homes, have been, and maybe that space is a little tighter than than we really like. So we want to, now's the time. But absolutely, now again, we've talked about this. We can't, just like the stock market, we can't time what the market's going to do. We can't time what housing prices are going to do. They could continue to go up. They could take a little break or go down. But so I always say, if the foundation is right and you're ready, then let's do it. So if you have that emergency fund we've talked about, you have a down payment and you feel confident you're going to be in the area in your house for a while, now's a great time to start that path to home ownership.
Speaking of houses, it's kind of like a follow-up then. I refinanced my house last year. Is it too soon to put it on the market to buy a new one?
It sounds like if you refinance, I guess, how much did you how much equity do you have, and what do you have equity in your home, and why are you moving? So I've always been the belief that if you can stay in your place as long as you can, all the better, because every time you move, you have costs that are associated with that. Certainly on a new loan, there's the closing costs, but also the cost for you to list your home with a realtor and sell that home. So there are costs associated with selling a home as well, and then you're going to have to obviously buy a new place. So,
and there are costs with that too, right? I mean, I don't know, or does the seller never has to pay the cost so much? I mean, you still have to pay. You have to do something though if you're buying a new home, don't you?
Well, pay something. He would have to sell the current place, right?
Right. So you got
to
do that.
There's a cost with that. You have to pay the realtor fees. Typically, it's 6%, three to the selling and the 3 to the buying agent. So but the seller pays that, the buyer doesn't. So if you're selling the place he refinanced, there's going to be a cost of that. And then when you get the new loan, there's going to be closing costs associated with the new loan. So, I mean, bigger is not always better.
Vicky.
You know, the bigger the house, the bigger your house, the more repairs you have, the more expensive it is to replace a roof, paint it, et cetera. So.
And Todd, if you were to talk to this person, they said, man, I really would like to buy a house, a year from now. Would you have told them then don't refinance the one you have? Is that pretty much a good rule of thumb?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Without knowing all the details on the interest rate and what that break even, maybe they were paying 5.5%. I don't know. So the break even was 6 months or something. So. Without knowing those details, but you certainly want to calculate a break even. So the cost associated with refinancing in relation to the reduction in interest rate, how much you're going to save, how fast are you going to recoup that money?
Oh, I see what you mean with the break even. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gosh. And can you, I mean, is there, does that happen, Todd, that you can actually break even in under a year when you refi? That's amazing.
If somebody hasn't refied for, 7, 8, 9 years and, now deciding to look at it, maybe. Because, we're looking at rates in the low threes right now, BJ.
All right.
And it was, 3, 4, 5 years ago, we were a little higher than this. So it depends how much your mortgage is and how much you have to pay to do that refi. And a lot of times, lenders don't have origination fees. Those are kind of a thing of the past now. So it is much more economical to refinance. So those are numbers that you really have to walk through, and you can talk to, as you talk to a financial advisor, you can talk to a mortgage advisor. They can walk you through what those numbers are going to look like and what that break-even period is going to look like for you.
So, and you just gave a term that, frankly, I don't know if I had when I was buying houses when I was in my 20s, and maybe they were there and I didn't know about them. I didn't know there was a mortgage advisor. And is that something BECU has as well?
Yeah. So these are specialists. These are people, that's all they do, is we work, in our case, with our members to walk them through that process. So they're going to look at, what your credit is, what you have for a down payment, what your income is. They're going to be able to calculate what you can afford, what that payment's going to look like for you, and give you the tips and the tricks. I mean, they do it every day, so they know all the pitfalls as well.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. I know that when I was younger, my eyes glazed over when I heard conversations like this, which is why if your eyes are glazing over and if you don't know what the hell's going on, but you go, but I want a new house, I don't care. It really is good to get somebody that can tell you, hey, hold on, hold the phone. You're going to be losing money if you just go with that impulse. So that's good stuff.
Rev is a great resource. He bought his house, a little over a year ago, I think.
Well, let's not get too crazy.
It's been 3 years, actually.
Wow.
And we had a mortgage.
We actually used our first-time homebuyer grant.
So, yeah.
We have actually money that for first-time homebuyers, there are qualifications, but there's money available for that down payment assistance as well. And that would just be ECU, but there's a lot of programs out there. So that's another thing that that mortgage advisor could help you with.
Yeah, and that's what we used. I used a mortgage advisor. We got everything worked out perfectly, and now I can do fund upgrades on my house.
And first-time buyer stuff. I never knew any of this stuff. I just went in like a moron on my first house years ago, and
Yeah, a lot of this wasn't around when we bought houses, BJ, a long time ago.
Well, I feel better about that. Thank you, Todd, because I just thought, boy, if all that was available and I just went out and did it on my own, I'm kind of a dope.
I was the same way. Went into it blind. But
in all fairness, you were purchasing a spot in a cave. I mean, it was like you didn't have a house back then, BJ.
It was the primo. It was a primo spot. Had the great drawings, Steve. Right. Why, who wouldn't take it?
Yes.
And right near the opening, too.
All right, let's switch to credit score. A few people were texting about that. Someone said, Todd, on your advice, I got my score from 530 to 750.
Ooh, nice.
But I want more. What are my next steps to increase credit limit? Should I add a third credit card?
750 is a really good
one.
For
800, baby.
Yeah. I mean, you can get 800, but still, man, Todd, what can somebody do to get over that hump?
Well, I mean, I guess a couple things. So if you get to, 760, 780, you're in the A tier. So even if you go to 850, it's not going to make any difference in what your rate is going to be. But you just have to go back to what drives the score. And 35% of that is paying everything on time. 30% of it is that utilization we always talk about. So keeping that balance in relation to limit below that 10% mark. 30% is okay, but 10% is better. And then it's just having a good mix. So, not having a ton of credit. I don't think going from 2 to 3 is necessarily a bad thing, but I don't think it's going to help a lot either. So, and then time. So 10% of it is time. So, that looks back at 12 years. So the length of credit. So that's why we talk about not necessarily closing cards that you've had for a long time.
So this person basically in 5 years could have what they want by just continually be consistent with what they're doing right now.
I think so. Not seeing all the details, but if you're paying on time, keeping those balances low, time will take care of itself. And yeah, absolutely.
And so your income has nothing to do with it. Making $20,000 a year, if they do everything that you said that they should do, and somebody making $100,000 a year doing everything the same, it doesn't matter. They both could have the same credit score.
They could.
Wow.
It does look at home ownership as a good credit. There's stability there.
Oh, that's nice.
So there could be some, depending on what your income is, whether you can afford a home. But yeah, it does not look at your income or what your ethnic background is or your race or your beliefs or any of that. It's pure numbers.
That's so weird to me, but I guess that's how it works. I mean, if you don't have any credit cards, but you're making a good living and you pay all your bills and you definitely have good income, your credit score could be below sea level because you just are not a credit card person, but you've always paid every bill you've ever had, and maybe you've paid everything in cash and you make a good living and you're not somebody who's in a bad business or whatever, you're just a cash person. That's really funny how the credit score could be really bad anyway. That's good for people to know that it's a whole different sort of way to measure these things.
Yeah, it does not look at income at all. So that's not an excuse. So
here's a good quick question from someone saying, how long does it take for a late credit card payment to go off your report?
Ooh, those are tough.
Again, this is kind of the time thing. So that late payment is going to be have the biggest impact, obviously, right away. And then as time goes on, as new credit and new behavior gets reported, it becomes less and less and less of a factor over the years. So I don't have a specific 90 days, 100 days, 2 years. It's just in time, it will kind of go look in the rearview mirror and not have an impact as much.
Damn. Well, time. See, that's the thing, man. Time. A lot of us.
Patience, kids.
Lot of us got into trouble, our credit trouble in the first place because we didn't have patience. And now you're telling us we have to have patience, Todd.
Yeah. It's with your credit score, it's like a lot of things. It's really easy to hurt it and damage it, but it takes time to get it back. So that's why we really have to be on top of it. I mean, I think we've all had, maybe challenges over the years, but you can damage your credit score really fast, but it's going to take some time for it to come back.
If there were any questions at all that Todd didn't get to that you emailed us in, if you're on the phone lines, Todd always answers everything by email. Just go to KISW.com and you'll scroll down. You'll see the banner with Todd's smiling face. I'm there hanging with him too. And don't forget, man, if you want to do some good banking and do a banking at a credit union where they take care of you, unlike a normal bank, go to BECU.org. You can do everything that any bank can do, but of course it's member owned. So it looks out for you even more so. And if you live, work, or attend school here in Washington State, you are eligible to be a BECU member. All the info at BECU.org. Todd, always good talking to you, buddy.
Likewise, BJ. Thank you.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.